Yeah.
It's time for swap meet. Oh yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure, like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Oh, it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old, has no mold, there's value there. It's time for swap meet with Justin Kaufman
and Greg Flam.
Hey, that's me.
Hey, all right, it's time for the swap meet here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, this is going to be exciting. 312-981-7200. We are ready to evaluate your junk, as we say every Wednesday here. Good to see you, Greg.
Good to see you, Justin. Thanks.
So just before we start up here, I just want to say that we are paying attention to the tornado warning that's in effect up in the northern Illinois area.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pay close attention to that, keep you updated on anything as we do the swap meet tonight.
But sure.
Right now, thunderstorm and tornado warnings in the northern part of the state. So we'll pay attention to that here. Rob Martier's all over it.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. All right. So as we do every night when we do the swap meet, Greg, you give us an idea of what you've collected over the last week since we saw you last. Good weekend? It was a strong Mother's Day weekend?
Yeah, it was great. Great weather. Great weather to pick and to sell up in Rosemont. And I found some stuff that I normally don't find.
The pickers are all, yeah, they're all celebrating mom, and you just slide right in.
I was really surprised how many people were there. I mean, it was like any other Sunday there at Rosemont, and I thought it'd be a little less, but no, it was steady all day.
All right. All right. So let's talk about what you got. You'll start us off tonight. And again, 312-981-7200. You can text or call if you have some stuff you want evaluated tonight. What do you got, Greg?
Okay. So I found a Lux 1950 Lux Cadillac in the box, which is kind of cool.
It's a toy? What is it?
Yeah, it's a toy car. I'm assuming it was made like in the 60s, maybe 70s. You know, pretty simple, but they're about $20, $30. But my first one I found in a box anyway. But the more important thing I found was a...
lugging this thing all the way
I'm loving it. I don't even know if I could sell it, but it is a Pink Panther black velvet paint. I'm just like... I love it. I'm like, if you're not into kitsch, as a seller, you're losing money. And if you're not into it as a person, you're just not having
so
fun.
So it's a velvet painting.
Yeah, it's a black velvet.
The Pink Panther.
And the Pink Panther is painted on it.
Yeah, it is velvet. That's crazy.
It is.
So they paint on the velvet.
And, you know, everyone knows, like, the big joke is, like, the Elvis, you know, velvet painting.
Right,
it's, like,
right,
the big
right.
joke. But some of the, like... nudes and stuff like that can go in the 300-400 range.
What is the Pink Panther?
I'm thinking it's probably in the $75 range, somewhere
right,
in there.
But you just like it.
I do. It's just because you don't get a chance to really buy them. They're usually all gone by the time.
Are you thinking of removing the dogs playing poker from the living room wall?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that and my Mike Ditka flipping the bird poster. might have to move over for a while.
You can't. So. Yeah, that's maybe take that down till bear season.
Right. Yeah,
back
I can.
Up or something
yeah,
like
I
that,
can.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a velvet Pink Panther painting.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. I remember there was a in my wife's family's basement, one I think it was like an uncle, they had a picture of the bridge, right? It was like a painting of a bridge.
Okay.
And the lights were in the painting.
Oh, yeah.
So they would light up like where the lights were on the Golden Gate Bridge or whatever like that.
Yeah, but they did that. The same thing with, what's that bar or diner where it's like James Dean and other stars are sitting around that diner. That lights up as well. Yeah, those are great. And then that kind of lends itself to the barware again, where you got the waterfall, you know, and that's backlit
right.
or it looks like it's moving.
Because this right here, when I see this velvet painting,
yep.
I think basement. I think you might be setting something up.
Yeah, you know, it's good barware. It's very popular with tiki bars now are doing the velvet thing because they incorporate a lot of kitsch, you know, with the tiki bar scene.
I think what you do is when we get out of here, we go to Logan Square, to hipster bars,
right.
Logan Square, and we walk around and just walk in like, you interested in this?
Right.
17,000.
Yeah, best offer.
See what we can get. Or best offer.
Right, right. I'm all for it.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Swap Meet Greg Flam at DuPage Picker on Facebook and Twitter. All right. Let's see what we got here. 773 starts us off with a 1983 Sony 13-inch color Trinitron TV.
Oh yeah, the Trinitron.
What's that? What is a Trinitron?
That was the model. I guess it was based on a technology back in what would that be, the early 80s, I think, or he said 83, yeah. So that was kind of what they called their line of TVs in that day.
That's the, there was like some
Trinitron, yeah, and they made
specific
probably
technology to a 1983 13-inch color TV.
Yeah, and they would make five different model numbers, but they were like Trinitron, such and such, you know. But yeah, I'm looking up now, and I have seen those quite often because they're bigger, so a lot of people don't really want the bigger TVs.
Like
these
they're
days.
Big in the back.
Yeah,
baby
yeah,
got
they're
back
just
kind
big.
Of thing.
Yeah, I mean they made them in the full blown wood consoles or kind of a entertainment center top type thing.
I would say that the television industry, television retail industry, made a huge mistake by going away from the huge TV in the back. Right? They don't recognize it. We all want that, right? I mean,
right.
All the people in Michigan, I mean, you want those TVs with the big back. That the bigger the back. The more you brag about it, right? You're like, hey, take a look at how big the back of my TV is.
Right, and you also then get the hospital bill or right. chiropractor yeah, bill right, for right, it, too, right?
It's just trying to move that thing. How many of those have dropped? You're trying to move those up a stair, two flights?
Yeah, I mean, and they're not going for too much. I think the highest one I see here is 250, but they have gone as low as...
250 like, for a 13-inch color TV?
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
I don't understand the allure of that. Is it just because it's some sort of retro?
Yeah, it's got to be a retro thing, and the technology from then was kind of top for the day. And but they've gone as low as $18. I mean, it's they're all over the place, so...
Hmm.
But yeah,
that's what I would pay. I'd pay $18. A 13-inch TV ain't doing it for me.
But here's where the older TVs come in handy. If you're a gamer and you have the first Nintendo with the Duck Hunt game, they need the older TVs for that Duck Hunt gun to work.
Oh,
they don't work on the new flat screens. So that's something.
Could I, like if I had an old Atari, I would assume that the hookups to the back of the TV probably don't work either because it's the old school, like, like when you're trying to hotwire a car.
Right.
Same kind of thing, like you just put metal to metal.
Yeah, you had to have that metal little slider right. adapter thing. And, yeah, I tend to pick those up whenever I see them, too, because people need those if they're hooking up to an old TV. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, you need the old TVs to use, like, the zapper gun on Atari or Nintendo's.
Well, the little things we learn on the swap meet. 312-981-7200. If you've got a question or you want some advice or you have something you want to brag about tonight, this is the show for you. Greg Flamm at DuPage Picker in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. It's swap meet. It's a swap meet here on the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Greg Flamm in studio, at DuPage Picker on Facebook and Twitter. This is a segment in which we evaluate your memorabilia, your collectibles, your junk. If you want to find out what something's worth, or you just want to call in and brag about it. That's my favorite part.
That is the most fun.
Of the swap meet. It's been like, guess what I got, and I ain't giving it to you.
Yep. We'll be talking about that phone book from Chess Records forever. Found
that
it in the garbage.
That was a dumpster dive.
It was a dumpster, yeah. I don't even think he dove in it. I think it just was thrown out the window of the place.
Hit him right in the head.
And yeah, I found it.
312-981-7200. You know, as we were talking about the just the idea of the TV and this segment in general, are people getting, when you go to estate sales and every, you know, you go to estate sales, garage sales, whatever it is over a weekend, you're going to start seeing that here in May, especially right after the moving day, May 1st, people
right.
moving stuff. Are people getting savvier? I mean, are they
definitely,
understanding, I'm going to go to eBay before I put this out? I mean, are you seeing a different?
Definitely at estate sales, people are smarter shoppers. Flea markets, yeah. Garage sales, not so much. But with technology now, what's great is anything with a barcode, you can pull up an eBay or Amazon app and scan it. And you can tell right there what they're going for, like within a matter of a few seconds. So that's great if it has a barcode. Now, if it's older stuff, you have to, you know, type in the thing, but you could still type
in
the
title.
Still,
like, that's a whole step that we never had to do when we had a garage sale, was to go online and see what this value is, because it can appreciate.
Yeah, a learning moment for me was walking into a room at a house estate sale, and three stacks of puzzles, like brand new, still sealed, never used, and a guy just sitting Indian style scanning all these puzzles. And then I realized, hey, there are puzzles that are worth money, and I should probably get to know some of those, because I, you know, how many times have we walked across puzzles at a garage sale or something? You know, so there are some that are worth, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah.
That was
what kind of a bargaining goes on at these things? I always wonder, because I just remember we had a garage sale when we moved when we were younger, and my parents had a bunch of like old dishes that, that were never used, you know, a stack of 10 dishes or whatever, and it was like $3 or something. And I remember like somebody came up and was like, I'll give you a quarter for
it. Yeah, you're going to get those people like, who want everything
for a
quarter.
You can't even like a $3. You
right,
know?
Right. Right. There's that. Yeah, I, you know, I tend to go a little bit higher because I kind of already build in that barter or that haggle, you know, that they're going to want it for less. But yeah, garage sales, you're going to get that quarter a lot. Flea markets, they tend to know, okay, you're not going to get it for a quarter most times. But you're absolutely right. Garage sales, you will see that.
Is this the right time right now, May, where you start to see garage sales? Like if I were going to go.
Yeah, they've been happening. Weekend, yeah? And they'll go as late as November if the weather's above 45. I mean, I've seen them like just roll up the garage door and just have it inside their garage, even if it's below 40. You know, as long as the sun's out, it's not too rainy. They've been going on. But definitely, yeah, we are in the thick of it now.
Is there like a. Is, I would think with the internet and the advent of. Boards, forums, things mm-hmm. like that. Is there a place that you go to that people put up on a online? Hey, I'm sure. having a garage sale, or is it still the old fashioned? Let's drive around the block.
That is what they call freestyle when you're driving around looking for it. But there are two great apps for estate sales. There's estatesales.net, and it's awesome. You just put in your zip code, you put how many mile radius you're willing to drive around your house. What's great there is they put the pictures of what is going to be at the sale for the most part, everything. And then for garage sales, there's a app, and it's a free app, gsalr.com. So it's G-S-A-L-R. So they leave out some letters. Okay. But gsalr.com, and there's that's like a GPS thing. I mean, you just it will show a pin where you're at, and there'll be a red flag where there's garage sales. And on a Saturday, Sunday, that thing is just loaded, you know. And
I'm just amazed at the work that has to go into promoting a garage sale and being ready for garage sale. When I mean, yeah. It was essentially get the old yellow bins out, put everything you can in there.
Yeah, and what's great about that app is they pull from Craigslist. So if you just put it on Craigslist, a lot of these apps are going to pull right from there. So you don't have to list it 10 times on different apps. So
are you
helps.
A Craigslist? Do you go buy stuff on Craigslist?
Not you see so much. Like, I mean, because I tend to be more garage sale, estate sales, flea market guy. So I don't really do too many one-on-one transactions on Craigslist unless it's something really rare that I have to have or I know that I can flip for a good amount of money.
All right. 708 says, okay, ask Greg what a Kyosho, K-Y-O-S-H-O, Land Jump Nitro RC car is, remote control car.
Okay.
In mint condition, still runs. Wow. I've had it since 1987. That's great year for remote control
that
cars.
Was, yeah, that
way.
Was a vintage
that's
year.
That's a vintage year.
Okay, well, first off, remote control cars, people are spending hundreds of dollars just for the outer body because that's the thing that gets smashed when you're actually playing the car. And the rule of thumb is if that body is bigger than a page and a half, you know, like a long landscape page and a half, you should get that and resell it because people are just paying crazy money. I'm not finding that one.
It's a Kyosho Land Jump Nitro remote control car in mint condition.
Yeah.
Still runs, 1987. I always find myself with those cars. You have to ask the question like, A, how quick does the battery go?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, people are always fixing those up. And again, like I said, they smash it. But I do have some here that are coming up. And the highest seemed to go for, well, lately about 140 for like the whole car with the remote control. But like I said, if it's bigger than, say, 14, 15 inches long, those are the higher price ones you want to look for.
312-981-7200. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to the swap meet. What do you want to brag about, Jeff?
Well, I've got some Fleer basketball cards
okay.
from 1986, 87.
Okay, classic. That would be Michael Jordan.
Okay.
An early Jordan, a Joe Dumars, possibly Larry Bird, James Worthy. I'm just throwing out basketball players at this point, Jeff.
Magic Johnson. Yeah.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, no, it's got all the greats in there.
Maybe like a Robert English. I don't know if he was playing at that time.
Yeah.
JoJo English. All right, what do you got for sets of NBA cards? I don't think of NBA like cards. When I think of collector's items. But I guess they are, right?
Yeah, my brothers and I were young. We used to just go to the card shop, buy boxes of NBA trading cards. Back in the day, we had season tickets to the Bulls.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was, you know, big thing to follow basketball.
Yeah, right,
back
right,
then.
Right.
Well, again, it's one of those things. Condition is everything. And again, individual cards have gone over $2,000. It looks like for the the hologram type ones. I'm looking up complete sets so far. I don't have much, but again, they can be as low as a dollar for individual. And sets are looking like, let's see, not really finding too many sets. Mostly, you know, individual or 12 cards.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, they're all in great condition. Any idea where you'd go about getting them graded?
There's, I think, a company called PSA, if you Google them, or just Google, you know, trading card grading company. I think they charge $14 to $20 per card to get it graded.
Oof.
Yeah, so you really kind of do some research first, and then if you think you got something good, then have it sent in to be graded, and they'll seal it in the plastic and send it back to you with the grading and all that. But, yeah, you... and then I think after, you know, if you send in the one card, if you send in five more cards, then it goes down to like $8 per card, I think.
Hmm. There you go. Thanks, Jeff.
I appreciate the info, guys.
Thank
Great
you.
Thank you. Listening to you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
For listening. All right. 312-981-7200. We got some text coming in. We got some Jim Beam decanters.
Okay.
I've got a Telefunken Opus Hi-Fi wooden case German table radio.
Wow.
815's back with the Ted Nugent's drummer, the drumstick that was signed by the bass player.
The drumstick that
went back. Classic.
Yep.
And John is on the line as well, and a few others. 312-981-7200. Stay with us. We'll get right back to the second half of the Swap Meet right after Rob's news. It's Download Swap Meet, 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, Greg, let's go to the phones. Let's go to John. John, thanks for holding on. John, what do you got? What do you want to brag about?
Well, I've got a bit of unusual sports memorabilia that I was wondering if it had any value.
Okay.
When I was a kid back in the early 60s, I was pretty much a Wrigley Field rat. I'd get there in the morning and stay there well after the game, and it was back in the days when a kid's ticket cost 60 cents.
Wow.
Anyway, when the game was over, I'd stand under the WGN broadcast booth and holler up to Jack Brickhouse
of
to
course.
Ask him to throw me down the press notes from that particular
nice.
Day's game. So sure enough, you know, he would always oblige me, roll up the notes, throw them down to me, and I hung on to them, and I saved them all through the years. And, you know, they're copies of the press notes that were distributed by the
wow.
PR department on legal-sized sheets of paper. It was back in the Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, Billy Williams days.
Right.
And, you know, it was all typewritten, all the stats and all the anecdotes that Jack could use during the game, and as he read the anecdote, he would, you know, X it off or put a circle
sure.
around it so that he'd read it.
Wow, that's great, John. That's a good one. That's a brag. That's
right,
a brag.
Right, he's got
moment,
a brag of the memory there, yeah.
Yeah, it's great memories.
Yeah, I mean, autograph, I've seen some just like scribbled autographs on like a cocktail napkin go for $12 by Brickhouse, but... Oddly, there's a bunch of other items. There's a clock that I guess he owned going for $2,000 right now. A bobblehead is $20. A signed ball is $52.
What do you do
him,
with items that are of personal effect or only important to that game? What do you do, like a scorecard or things that weren't sold necessarily?
Yeah, that's tends to fall under the memory thing or a brag if you know, if it's a press clipping. I mean, I guess if it has the WGN logo, like for broadcasting the game, that, you know, could be
something
in the $100, $200 range. Maybe.
Thanks, John.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting, too, because we had Scott Simon, who wrote the book, Love Story, My Cubs, we had the book on, he was talking about Jack Brickhouse being his godfather.
Wow.
And was amazing stories about, how Jack Brickhouse would go to the lounge. I forgot the name of the lounge. It's just on the tip of my tongue. Something like Poodle or Pink or something that was just for the press people at Wrigley after the games, and that's where he'd be. That's where they'd all go, and they'd just drink until they had to get kicked out of Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
You don't think about that.
Yeah, I know. I was lucky enough to go to a stadium club back in the day.
Right. It's a little different than stadium
right,
club.
Right, a little different.
All right. Let's keep going. 312-981-7200. My mom, this is 708, says my mom's got three Jim Beam decanters. Two are 1930s touring car models and a 1940s style phone, all from the 70s. Hmm.
Yeah, the cars are worth quite a bit more. The phone looks like it's going $20 to $40. The cars are as high as $250. The one that's kind of cool, though, is there's like a genie bottle, like a lamp, and that one is going for like $400, $500. So
But okay, there you go.
Well, they made all different, you know, obviously cars. And, yeah, different decanters. Same thing with the Avon
and
stuff.
Oh, yeah, and 708 wants to let us know that they are empty, by the way. Decanters.
Right. Yeah, because you cannot sell.
Okay. Yeah. 312 says, I have a Telefunken Opus Hi-Fi wooden case German table radio.
Yeah, that's great.
What's it worth?
Yeah, they're between $150 and $450.
What?
Yeah. Depending condition and so forth.
That's a good one.
It is.
There's your winner tonight.
Yep.
Joy, who's a regular listener, has sent along some really interesting ornate, I guess you'd call them almost like bowls or almost like
ornate. Yeah.
Would they have like lids on them? Mm-hmm. She sent a bunch of pictures. I don't know what they're worth, but they're very interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything comparable to hers, so that's something if she wants.
Does that
email.
Kind of stuff go? Like, the, I mean, we're talking about like really interesting china or ornate sugar bowls.
Yeah, usually alabaster is pretty, pretty high up there. Like the lamps and stuff can be in the 1500, mm-hmm. 2000 and up. But the bowls, I can't tell you offhand.
All right, 312-981-7200. 815 says, hey. Tell that guy, I forgot, what is it, Jeff? Tell that guy to contact someone to archive those press notes.
Yeah, the Jack Brickhouse notes.
Yeah, those need to be archived. They're emphatic. 815 is mad. those notes should be archived. Please tell him to contact someone to archive those notes.
Okay.
There's a double archive.
Okay.
I just, there's something great about, what Scott Simon was saying, that like you finished the broadcast. It was all day games,
mm-hmm.
And they finished the broadcast and they're like, well, let's walk a door over and get a drink at the bar, the Wrigley Bar.
Yeah, that's had to be kind of a secret club thing that they had, because I've never heard of it.
And I always wonder, too, just about the idea that that's a different time now. Obviously at that time, you're just like, there wasn't so much celebrity
right.
Adoration around the players, so the broadcasters could be done and they could just roll to the bar.
Well, we would hear the stories how players would go across the street to a bar.
Yeah, right.
But I've never heard like within the
bar inside. Of yeah. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's press bars up in the, like, I haven't spent any time in the press box or press area. We can ask Mark or Kevin or
sure.
Sam next time they're on about what the bars are like at Wrigley Field. Yeah. Oh, thrilling, riveting conversation we'll have with them about that.
Right.
847 says, I got a Princess Diana Beanie Baby.
Oh, here we go.
I've seen them online from $5 to $100,000. What?
Yeah.
What's the real value?
Again, it's there's like a four-stage process you have to kind of verify. Again, it was the spacing of like the poem or the writing on the back of the tag. There was then what they called the butt tag, the tag that's on the mm-hmm. butt of the, that had to have like a star with, a white star and a red heart or something. It had, I just don't even bother. It's just, it's kind of like
so you have to have all these things for it to be a collectible.
Yeah. You have to verify that to even,
do they
worth
have
more than $5.
A Princess Diana Beanie Baby that might be a collector's item and another one that's not? You know what I mean? Like it's the same thing, but they don't have the right markings. So
like that and the purple bear one, I can't remember, but that one, like, it depends where it was made as well. Was it Indonesia? Was it Malaysia? I mean, there's, like I said, there's a four step, and if you just Google that, they have pages that are dedicated to how to identify your Beanie Baby.
Hmm. There you go. How to identify your Beanie Baby. If you're watching this, you need right. issue with identifying your Beanie Baby. I've got a Kerry Wood signed jersey purchased from Wrigley Field.
Okay.
Also a Walter Payton jersey in a photo picture frame.
Yeah, the Payton jerseys, if they're authenticated, with the grading, they go as high mm-hmm. as 1500. If they're not graded and it's just kind of the jersey just framed, 300.
Hmm.
But yeah, curious.
It's a classic. I sent a picture too. It's classic Payton. Classic. Yeah, I have a feeling there are a lot of Payton jerseys and things like that.
Yeah,
there,
I would
right?
think, yeah.
And he says, 847, when talking about the Kerry Wood jersey, says it was a signed jersey purchased from Wrigley that on the day he retired.
Oh, wow.
Kerry Wood.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure what that is. But.
Yeah.
And yes, the Walter Payton jersey is signed.
Is it a home or away jersey? I would think the white would stick out more like a sign.
No, it's a home. It's a blue.
Yeah, blue is harder to see probably, unless he signed it in the numbers, I guess.
No, he did. He signed it in the numbers.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, well, this is Swap Meet. A little truncated tonight, of course, because of the weather storm. The severe thunderstorms that have come through the area, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But Greg Flamm here every Wednesday doing Swap Meet at DuPage Picker on Facebook and Twitter. Once again, like I said, truncated tonight, but we got some good stuff in.
That's good. We got it in.
All right. Good to see you. We'll see you next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, Justin.